Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The gospel is the power of God to save. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul writes to this young preacher, Timothy, and these are not new passages to you, but he said to this young man in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. In John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible said, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we are endeavoring to do in this effort. And that is to take the truth contained in the Bible and to plant that truth in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And that's what we want to do this evening. But I want you to focus with me for just a few minutes on this chair. And I want you to imagine, you and I, we turn on the television as we have done this week. There have been several trials that have been going on. The trial that we followed in the Atlanta area on this H. Ralph Brown and whatever his name is now, and then the Andrea Yates trial in Texas, and you and I look back and we see the trials that have occurred. And one of the things that we keep understanding about these, and that is that facts have to be brought out. That witnesses are brought to the witness stand, and the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney, they will question the witness, and they'll go over this and over that in order to get the truth out. Ladies and gentlemen, there have been many individuals who have been following religious doctrine who have not investigated the truth. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, There were false prophets among the people. Excuse me, Peter. False prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. What do you say, Peter? There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There are many individuals in our world, in our society tonight, who have just accepted whatever some individual has said. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible tells us about the great apostle Paul, and the Bible tells us about the things which he endured. And listen to what he said. He said that Satan has transformed himself into a minister of light. Is that not what Jesus said? False prophets? How do they come to you? Oh, they come to you in sheep's clothing. All you and I have to do, folks, is to turn on the television, listen to the radio, and what? We see these men, and they are smooth in their speaking. These men have, they are able with their oratory to convince many individuals to follow a false doctrine. I'm asking you tonight, my friend, will you examine what the Bible says rather than listening to man? You're not going to stand before Larry Acuff in the day of judgment. The Bible said we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. In Acts 17:30-31, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now committeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? For He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and give assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. When you and I stand before God in the day of judgment, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that the book will be opened. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words, hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day. I challenge you, my friend, this evening. You may be listening to some man. You may be listening to some preacher. You may be listening to some friend. And that individual has told you something and you have believed it and practiced. Oh, you've done so honestly. You've done so in your thoughts that, hey, this is the right thing to do. I'm asking you tonight to examine the Scriptures. I'm asking you tonight not to do what a preacher says, a friend says, or what some man says. I'm simply asking you tonight to do what the Bible says. It will not be that preacher. It will not be that friend. It will not be Larry Acuff. It will not be the elders of this church that you and I will stand before in the day of judgment. It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book will be open. I want you to imagine today, this evening, that you're in a court of law. And our purpose and our goal this evening is to convict a person of, quotation marks, a crime. And now, what we're going to do, we're going to convict a person of a crime of cutting off somebody's ear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you look at the facts. You have made religious decisions. Maybe you've made those decisions based on a feeling. Maybe you've made those decisions based on some kind of emotional high. I was in a consignment, and this guy came up and started talking to me, and he got to talking to me about religion. He didn't know me. He didn't know anything about me. He knew I was a preacher or anything. And he said, "What the Lord told me the other day, so-and-so." And I looked at him, and I said, "No. You know what?" I said, "He told me he didn't tell you that." That poor, I'm not trying to be smart. But you see, he had this idea that God, listen, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. If God speaks to one man, if the Holy Spirit speaks to one man, He must speak to every single one of us. But ladies and gentlemen, I told the fellow, I said, "Listen, the Bible told, that information comes from the Bible. He didn't say anything to you because he said that he didn't. The Word of God is quick and powerful. God, who in sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son." The Bible says where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is not for so long as the testator liveth. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He nailed to the... Oh, you know, there are those who reject the worship of the Lord on the first day of the week, and they say, "No, we're going to do it on the Sabbath day." Oh, but Christ nailed that law to the cross. Oh, yes, that is true. He nailed the ceremonial law to the cross, but He didn't nail the Ten Commandment law. Oh, yes, He did. Oh, yes, He did. The Bible says that he did. Because listen to what he said. Paul writes the church at Colossae, and he says, blotting out, now listen to this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, nailed to the cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Go back to Exodus chapter 32, and you know what the Bible says? God wrote the Ten Commandment law with His finger. That Old Testament law is no longer in effect. Jesus said, "One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all of it be fulfilled." Our Lord died on the cross, and while on that cross, He said, "It's finished." You and I understand the last will and testament. And so when you and I stand before God, I'm simply asking you tonight, my friend, to look at what the Bible says, what the New Testament teaches. Now let's imagine. You're in a court of law. We're going to convict a man. And the crime is that God has his ear cut off. So we're going to call witnesses to the stand. The first witness that I want to call, just kind of, I'm going to play like I'm an attorney. That's the closest I'll ever get to it. And I want to call a witness to the stand by the name of Mark. Mark, I understand that you have written a book in the New Testament. Yes, that's correct. I understand now, Mark, that you have an incident recorded in your book where a fella had his ear cut off. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. Let me ask you this question. Will you give me the name of the fellow who had his ear cut off? Well, I didn't record it in my book. So what you're saying, Mark, is you just said a fellow had his ear cut off, but you didn't tell us what his name, you didn't record what his name was. No, I didn't do that. Well, let me ask you this question. Was the fellow who cut off the ear, was he one of the disciples of Jesus? Well, Mark says, I'll tell you what I said in my writing. I said that there was one that stood by. So really, now let me ask you this while we're on that question. Did he have a sword? Or did he get a sword from someone else? And Mark said, well, all I know is there was a man standing by, and he drew a sword, and he cut off the ear. Now, I believe it was a servant. Is that right? Yes, a servant of the high priest. Yes. Now, Mark, I want to ask you, audience, I want to ask you a question. If I had a defendant sitting over here, and we're accusing this defendant of cutting off the servant of the high priest here, I want to ask you a question. Would you convict that man based on that evidence alone? Not likely. And so what we'll Mark, we're going to excuse you. We want to call another witness to the stand. And I want to call a fellow by the name of Matthew. Matthew comes to the stand. Matthew, I understand that you wrote in your book about a fellow had his ear cut off. That's right. Now, Matthew, I understand from your writing that he was a servant of the high priest. Is that correct? Yes. Yes. Two things, Matthew, I need to know. Matthew, I need to know the name of the person who had his ear cut off. Matthew said, I didn't record that. You're telling you don't have the record of that? No. I didn't record it in my book. Now, I want to ask you another question, Matthew. I want you to tell me the name of the man that cut off the ear. Matthew said, I didn't record that either. Now, Matthew said, what I did say was that there was a person, a man with Jesus. Oh, he was with Jesus, yes. Something else I said. I said that he drew his sword. See, now we've got some more information. Mark said a fellow had his ear cut off, servant of the high priest. Matthew comes along and Matthew says, now, not only was there an high priest, but it was a one who was with Jesus, and he drew his sword and cut off the servant, or the ear, of the servant of the high priest. I ask you again. You're a jury. Would you convict the man alone on this evidence? And somebody said, well, who are we convicting? We don't know his name. We don't even know the name of the fellow who had his ear cut off. Okay, Matthew, you can be excused. We're going to call another witness. We're going to call a man by the name of Luke. Luke, would you take the witness stand, please? I want to ask you some questions. Now, Luke, you record in your writings that a man had his ear cut. Boy, did he ever. I'm telling you what, he said, you know, I've seen a lot of things. Now, I'm paraphrasing. You know, you got to know Hebrew to get it all like this, folks. And he said, I'm a doctor, you know, and I've seen these things. Man, that guy just grabbed the HK, just cut off the right ear of that guy. Oh, wait a minute, Luke. You said a fellow had his ear cut off? Yes. And you're telling me now that it is the right ear that was cut off? Yes. Now, Luke said, hey, wait a minute. I want to tell you something else. Jesus healed the man. Oh, now we've got more information. Ladies and gentlemen, the information we have is that there's a servant of the high priest. He had his right ear cut off. Jesus healed the man. The man who cut his ear off was a man that was with Jesus and he had his sword. But, I ask you the question tonight. Are we going to convict someone of just that? Now, what are we doing? Now, watch one more. We're going to dismiss Mr. Luke or Dr. Luke, and we're going to ask another fellow by the name of John to come to the stand. John comes to the stand. Now, John, in your book, in chapter 18, and verse number 10, you tell us about a fellow that had his ear cut off. Man, he said, I sure did. I want to ask you a question, John. Now, this is very, very important. Can you tell me the name of the man who had his ear cut off? Now I want to stop here a second. When you get that information, I'm going to ask you a question. Will you believe it? Will you believe it? Did you believe the testimony of Mark? Did you believe the testimony of Matthew? Did you believe the testimony? Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I did. I mean, that's what they said. That's what the Bible said. It's inspired, and that's what it said.
John, do you know the name of the man who had his ear cut? Yes, it was Malchus. Oh. Let me ask you a question, John. Do you know the name of the man who cut his ear off? Why, sure do. His name was Peter. Peter drew his sword, cut off his ear. Now watch what we have, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this assembly tonight who does not understand what has just occurred. We have read four accounts in the New Testament, and here is the information that we have come up with. That a certain high priest by the name of Malchus had his right ear cut off by a man named Peter who had a sword, who drew that sword, who cut off the ear, that this man was with Jesus, and that Jesus healed this man and healed him of the wound of his ear being cut off. Now, there's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this audience who is in any rational sense who does not understand and believe what I have said to you from the Word of God at this point. How do you know why? We've had the testimony of Bible writers, testimony of inspired all Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Somebody said, oh, well, Brother Jeff, we all understand that. All right. Now I want you to follow another principle. How have you been saved? Oh, somebody said, well, Brother Acuff, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Oh, you did? Uh-huh. Somebody knocked on my door and asked me, do you believe that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And you probably said, no, I wouldn't go to heaven because I'm not, quotation marks, saved. And they said, do you want to be saved? And, oh, do I sure do. Can we get down right now? And would you open up your heart and let the Lord Jesus come in and let us pray the sinner's prayer? Oh, I'd just be thrilled if you'd do that. Or maybe some Sunday morning in some religious group, you heard a message and you said, I've got to do something about my soul. And you go down front and you tell whoever it is, I want to be saved. And they'll say, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to get down here and we're going to pray the sinner's prayer. Oh, that I believe God, for Christ's sake, has pardoned me for my sins. I've let Him in. And oh, I feel so much better. Is that what you did? Did you say, oh, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, you get this feeling. They get these feelings, and they'll say, oh, but I was out here crying, and I the Lord spoke to me, and I was saved out there in the field. That's kind of interesting. I thought about the fellow that was out crying one day, he got tired. And later on, he became a preacher. And somebody said, how was it that you became a preacher? And he said, well, I was out crying in the field one day, and I got tired. And he said, I sat down under a tree. And he said, before long, this cloud formation come over the sky above me. And I looked up. And he said, that cloud formation was in the form of a G and a P. And I said, God is telling me to go preach. The fellow said, how do you know God wasn't saying go fly? There are a lot of folks who have said, I've been saved. I let the Lord get in there. But now let's examine something in the Bible. First of all, let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And we won't go through read every one of these verses, but you can read at home, Acts chapter 10, the fellow there by the name of Cornelius. And so Cornelius is a good man, devout man, gave alms, prayed to God. God said, your prayers have come up as a memorial before me. You send to Joppa, there's a man there named Peter, and he's going to come and tell you words whereby you and your house can be saved. Do what? Tell you what? Words. What do you have to do? Hear the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we had Luke come to the stand and testify based on Acts chapter 10, this man had to hear a word whereby he and his house could be saved. Now I want you to read, listen, you read Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 16, Acts 22, and I'm going to tell you what you will not find in any one of those accounts. You will not find in any one of those accounts the plan of salvation, to hear the Word of God, to believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to confess the name of Christ before men, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and to live faithful the rest of your life. You will not find all six of those things in any one single passage, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 9, Acts 16. You'll not find it here. But what will you find? You put it all together. You put it all together. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius had to have words whereby he and his house could be saved. The Bible says in verse number 47 of that same chapter that he was baptized, he and his household. Now watch this. Is there individuals say, "Oh, Brother Acuff, I think all men has to do is believe on the Lord Jesus." Well, they'll go to Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison praying and singing praises to God. The prisoners hear them. There's an earthquake. You know the story. And there's an earthquake. And so this jailer comes in at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt..." Somebody said, "There it is, preacher. There it is, yes." Uh-huh. That's right. Mark, you said you didn't know which one, if this person was with you. You just said a man that stood by? Yeah. Luke, you didn't tell us that his name was Malchus, did you? No. What have we found out? We read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, what have we found? We have read looked at Acts 10 and Acts 16. What have we found out? We found out a man must hear the Word of God. Acts number 16, he must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now what do we find? We find that a man hears the Word of God and he believes it. But now let's go on. Not only do we find that out, but let's go to the second chapter of the book of Acts. Here are these people on the day of Pentecost, and Peter said, "You have with wicked hands crucified the Son of God." Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. You have with wicked hands slain the Son of God. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost, King James Version. What we found out? We found out in reading Acts 10 that it was necessary for a person to hear the Word of God. And there's other passages that will point that out as well. We found it was necessary to hear the Word of God. Acts 16, what do we find out? We find out it was necessary to believe the Word of God. And in Acts 16, the 15th jailer was also baptized. Now we come to Acts chapter 2, and what do we find? The third thing. Peter said to them, "Repent." Luke 13:3 and verse 5 says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The time of this ignorance God winked at, but now what does he do? He commands all men everywhere to do what? Repent. Change your life. So what do we find? You hear the Word of God, believe. Do we read it all in one passage? No. I want to ask you a question. Why, my friend, why would you believe that Peter cut off the right ear of Malchus and Jesus healed him, and yet you want to take one verse out of the Bible to try to convince yourself and God that you've been saved? Now let's go on. Not only that, Cornelius heard the word. Philip and Jailer believed the word. 3,000 repented on the day of Pentecost. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible tells us about this eunuch. Been up to Jerusalem to worship. On his way back to Ethiopia, he's reading from Isaiah, "As a sheep is led to the slaughter." Oh, you know, Philip said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" Here again, hearing the Word of God. And the Bible said he asked Philip to come up and sit with him again at the same Scripture. What did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Did you notice that in every one of these instances, the Holy Spirit didn't tell a single one of these individuals what to do to be saved? Not a single one of them. The Bible says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Cornelius heard the word. The Philippian jailer believed the word. The folks on the day of Pentecost repented of their sins. The Ethiopian eunuch confessed Christ and was baptized into Christ. What do we find out, folks? Not a single one of those passages of Scripture gives you those things, all of them together. But what do we find out? We find out that when we read all of the book of Acts, when we read all of these chapters, and we put them together as we rightly divide the word of truth, we find out that a man by the name of Malchus had his right ear cut off by a man named Peter who had a sword and who was with Jesus, and Jesus healed him. You believe that? Yeah, oh yeah, which I believe. Then why not hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized? If you believe one, you have necessity, my friend. Must believe the other. Philip said to this eunuch, he said, "See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Oh, somebody said, "Brother Aker, oh, I've been baptized." "Oh, you have, uh-huh." "Oh, yeah, how do you know? You baptized?" "Yes, when were you baptized?" I don't know. My goodness, I wasn't even, I was probably about 3 weeks old. They had me sprinkled. They did. Now let's read on. Because in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, as Philip said, or the eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God." They commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they both came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. There's a preacher in Cookeville, Tennessee, the denominational preacher I grew up with. He and I used to get into some arguments. We were 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. We'd get into arguments about the plan of salvation. And he'd say, "You don't have to be baptized." And I'd say, "Well, what, Acts chapter 8 and then?" And he'd say, "Yeah, but he could have pointed on them." Oh, no, 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 no. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Did you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Malchus? Oh, yes. Then, my friend, do you have any other choice than to believe that you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized by immersion? In Romans chapter 6, Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." What's happened? This old man of sin has been planted and he's been resurrected. You know what the Bible says? God be thanked. You are the servants of sin. But now listen to this. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered. What form of doctrine? Death, burial, and resurrection. God be thanked. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 15, we noted that earlier tonight. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Paul writes to those in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and he said, "To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the end be of them who obey not the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Paul said, Romans 6, you've obeyed from the heart that form, death, burial, and resurrection. How do we know? Because he said so in Romans chapter 6. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even though we also should walk in newness of life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us that Malchus had his right ear cut off by a man named Peter who had his sword and was with Jesus. And Jesus healed him. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 16, teaches us that a man must hear the Word of God, he must believe it, he must repent of his sins, confess the name of Christ before men, and be baptized into Christ by immersion for the remission of his sins. My friend, you may not do it. You may make the choice. But you see, if in doing so, just keep one thing in mind. In failing to do that, just keep this in mind, that you have rejected the voice of Jesus. He that rejecteth me and heareth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days. Would you not tonight obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you not take a soul that is sick in sin and have those sins? You know what? Listen to what Ananias told Saul. Oh, somebody said, Brother Acuff, there was Saul. He stayed out there on the Damascus Road. Well, he turned to Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22 and just kind of showed me that. We're reading the Bible. Jesus said, you go to the city of Damascus and he told you what to do. And in Acts 22, as Paul's relating his conversion, he said, Ananias came to him and he said, Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and, now listen to this, my friend, and be baptized and wash away that. Wait a minute. Ananias, you're telling me to be baptized and wash away my sin? Don't you know I was saved before I got up here? No. Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. In 1 Peter 3:21, I remember several years ago, I was studying the Bible with a lady. And when I got to her home that day, she said, oh, Brother Acuff, I've got to show you. There was a fellow on television selling commentaries, and I bought these commentaries. And I'm so thrilled. I just got to show them. And I said, well, let me see. Well, I recognized the person that had written this commentary. And as I always will do, I'm going to check this fellow out, and I'm going to see what he's teaching. So the first place I turned was 1 Peter 3:21. I said, now, ma'am, let's just read and see what it says here. And here's what the writer of the commentary said. He said, now the bold words are the words of the New Testament. The italics are my words. The words of the quotation mark, the preacher. On 1 Peter 3:21, here is exactly what that commentary, I wish I had a copy of it. I wish I had made a copy of it. Here's what the Bible says. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Immediately following that statement in italics, the preacher said, baptism does not save. I said, ma'am, I want to ask you a question. When you die and go before God on the day of judgment, I want to ask you a question. I had the Bible there and I had the comment. I said, now which one of these books will you be judged by? Oh, she said, I'm going to be judged by the Bible. I said, look what he says. He says something completely opposite from what the Bible says. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.